As we turn to God's word, let us hear the word from the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Congregation of Jesus Christ, as we looked at the letter of Paul to Galatians, one of the themes in Galatians, you'll remember, was the theme of freedom, and we found in Galatians that Paul described freedom as living and walking in the Spirit. Freedom is to be found in our relationship with God. That theme is to be found as well in the Old Testament, and here we find it in our text in the Old Testament 8th century prophet Micah. He summarizes the covenant relationship quite well in just one verse. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And it is in this covenantal relationship with God that freedom is to be found. Freedom is not the freedom that many think of today, doing whatever we please. Freedom is a word that we hear bandied about in our own land, particularly because it's a part of the American way of life. We want our freedoms. We expect our freedoms. And as you see throughout the newscasts that we see constantly, people demand their freedoms, whatever that may mean. Usually it means that they don't want to follow the law. They just really want to do what they please. That's what freedom has come to mean in our current society. It's also that which it meant the same thing, actually, in the society in Micah's day. The people in Micah's day wanted freedom. But they didn't want freedom in relationship with God. They wanted freedom from God, from Him, except they wanted His blessings. They wanted freedom to do whatever they wanted to do, and they wanted to enjoy those freedoms, but they didn't want anything to impinge or make those freedoms restricted as far as they understood it. So they ended up, instead of living in a covenantal relationship with God, walking in the way they thought would be acceptable. And that's why God sends these prophets like Micah and so many others to say, listen up, here's where true freedom is found. Walking humbly with your God, doing justice and loving kindness. There seems to be a sense of restriction in that. And I'm always reminded of my seminary experience where a very profound professor in seminary, with his voluminous writings, boiled it down to something so simple I even could understand it when he described freedom. It's like the goldfish in the bowl. Where is the goldfish going to enjoy true freedom? In the bowl? Or if he says, you know, I don't like being in this bowl, I want to be out there where I can be free, is he going to enjoy true freedom if he jumps out? No, not for long. That reminded me of that little children's book that I used to read to the children and probably have read to my granddaughter. It's a little beyond her, or she's way beyond that now. But it was about the same theme, the same story in the train. That, you know, it was this little train and it was on the track and it saw the meadow over there and it was a little angry and it was a little upset that the train was confined to the train tracks. So it decided to go and jump the track and play in the meadow. Well, that works for children's books, but it really doesn't work well for the train in town if it jumps the tracks, does it? Where is the train the freest? When it's on the track. Where is the fish free? When it's in the environment that was created for the fish in the water, in the fishbowl, the goldfish. Where are you free? When you are in the environment that God has created for you, in which you can do like the fish in the fishbowl, swim around like the train on the track, sail down the track, as a person made in the image of God, living to God's glory within the confines of that relationship that God has ordained. And that's really what Micah the prophet outlines in simple words. What does God require of you? What is the environment in which you are free to be what God wants you to be? Where true freedom is to be found? In this, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. He highlights in those three things the heart of that covenantal relationship with God. Freedom not from God, but freedom under God's control in the way in which God has ordained it, doing what God requires. Let's look at those three things as Micah outlines that covenantal bond and see how they relate to freedom. He says, act justly, do justice. That's the first part of this covenantal relationship. The commitment that the people of God in Micah's day and in our day have with Yahweh, the Lord, included the commitment to the covenant community in which justice would prevail. And if you read the Old Testament laws, you'll see that many of the Old Testament laws, which some of which we call case laws, there is the moral law embodied in the Ten Commandments, and then you follow the Ten Commandments, you'll see all of the case laws. The case laws were applications of that Ten Commandments, the moral law. That moral law was the outline, and the case laws filled it in, so you knew how to apply the law. And then the Old Testament has a whole bunch of case law. You know, don't muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain, so on and so forth. Those are case laws that apply to relationships and social obligations. And you'll see case laws, and you'll see the law of God as it speaks in terms of justice in a host of relationships. The law of God stands against oppression. You're not to oppress the poor. There were laws. You're to have justice in the courtroom, so you're not to perjure yourself. The judge and someone else as a witness is not to accept a bribe. The law of God spoke to all of these relationships, but the centerpiece of that that brings it all together is do justice. Because justice, as you apply it in all of the relationships of the community towards other members of society, brings a sense of our personal responsibility towards others under the will of God. And justice requires that we follow the will of God in reference to His commandments, in reference to the way we live in His creation. We are to do what God requires. We are not to be wasteful. We are to use what He has given us for His glory. We are to apply the justice of God to our conscience, so we are never to go against our conscience. We are to live according to our conscience as the Spirit of God speaks to us, so that we walk in obedience to God. Justice, do justice. The Old Testament prophets in particular had a passion for righteousness and for justice. That is the fulfillment of those covenantal responsibilities that arise out of living in a covenant community among God's people, because that meant that they recognized that they were bound to God. If they were bound to one another in the covenant community, it was first because they were bound to God. And that is where there is peace, and that is where there is freedom. And fundamentally, then, that has to have this covenant loyalty that he speaks of next, to love kindness. And he uses that particular word in Hebrew that expresses that covenantal love that God has for his people, that God has expressed in terms of his love that redeems his people. A love, as the hymn writer says, that will not let me go. It's that same love that the Apostle Paul picks up on in Romans, where he says the love of God is such that neither height nor depth nor things to come nor anything in all of creation will what? Will separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. It's that love that this word speaks to when Micah the prophet says, what does God require of you? To do justice, to love kindness. That's God's covenantal love with his people. It's a reminder that, first of all, God stands with his people, and he stands by them faithfully. He even stands with his fickle people, Israel, in the Old Testament. We see that over and over. Perhaps you may remember best of all the episode in Exodus 32, 33, and 34, where they worship the golden calf. Remember that story? Moses is at Mount Sinai, and the people there have pushed Aaron to the limits, and finally he says, "All right, I'll make you this golden calf," and he makes it. And they're having great praise and worship and dancing and noise. And Moses is there with God on the mountain receiving the law of God. And he says, "What is that noise I hear?" And so Moses goes down, and of course he sees what has happened. The question was raised after that incident of the golden calf. And you know, Moses came down, and the judgment of God as well came upon the people. Many people died as a result of this departure from faithfulness to God. But the question came shortly after that in chapter 33, can God continue to go with his people? They were being led out of Egypt. They stopped at Mount Sinai, and there was this incident with the golden calf. Now the question was God going to continue? There was some doubt. And Moses prayed, he interceded, he was a mediator. And he said, "Lord, if you don't go, there's no use in going." You could paraphrase it that way. While they were still in the shadow of Mount Sinai, they turned from covenant loyalty to disobedience. And it raised the question, was God going to just drop them and leave them there? And God was faithful to his people, because as Moses prayed, God's loyalty and his love to his people held them fast. His loyalty was steadfast despite the weakness, the fickleness of his people. God stands by his people. His commitment is faithfulness. He is loyal, as the Bible says, to 1,000 generations. Don't let that little phrase go without wondering, what does that mean? It means he is faithful, and he always will be faithful. While his anger for their sin at Mount Sinai was brief, it could not erase, cancel out his steadfast love for Israel. He led them on into the promised land, and ultimately the promise of the Messiah came through the covenant people, through which the Savior was born and the Redeemer of God's people. Because God's word is faithful. He isn't going to say no after so many times. He isn't going to drop us. He isn't going to cancel his contract. God is faithful. We can rest in that faithfulness, and that loyalty is what God requires of us. What does God require of you? To do justice, to love kindness. That faithful love that God has for us is what God says we should have as well. We read earlier, and I invite you to turn again back to Hosea the prophet, to that sixth chapter, where Hosea, a contemporary of Micah, speaks of the love of the people of God, which was like that morning mist, that dew. It was fickle, it changed, it was short-lived. And in Hosea 6, we see this description. "What shall I do," verse 4 says, "with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like a dew that goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth. This is what I desire," verse 6 says. Steadfast love. That's what Micah had just said. Steadfast love, or as Micah puts it, love kindness. That same word, chesed in Hebrew, faithfulness, love. God wants that steadfast love. He doesn't just want sacrifice. Now, he had ordained sacrifice, but when he says he doesn't want sacrifice, he means he just doesn't want you to go through the motions and say, "Okay, I went through the motions. I went to church. I'm done. I did what I need to do. Or I went and I took my sacrifice. I did what I need to do. No, God wants your heart, your covenanted love. He doesn't want people who turn to Him only when there's a crisis. He wants a people whose loyalty will remain because His loyalty remains. Not presuming upon God for His help, but depending upon Him because He loves us. And God calls His people in this text to an integrity and a faithfulness in their relationship with Him and with others. He doesn't want the worshiper the quality of things, sacrifice. He wants the quality of life, covenanted love, a religion that James describes that is true, is not the religion that just goes through the motions, but that actually ministers to the widow and to those who are in need. James has that same theme. Israel and Micah's contemporaries were living evidence of what happens to people who decide to dispense with God, or treat God, as I like to suggest, as a dispenser. There are a couple of machines over here that you can get pop from. Pop machines. We're familiar with them. You used to be, you put a nickel in, or a quarter, or a couple of quarters. Now I think you have to put a dollar. Sometimes you got to put a dollar and a quarter. And whatever it is, what do? You put the quarters in, you hit the button, you get what you want. You can't treat God that way. He's not a celestial pop machine. Put the quarter in, pray the prayer, say, Lord, give it to me. I press the button, now I expect to get the goods that I want. I made my selection. That's treating God like a celestial pop machine. He isn't to be treated in that way. He is to be the God with whom we love and walk with Him in covenanted faithfulness and obey His word and live in that relationship to God that He has ordained for us and depend upon the God whose love will never let us go. Micah says, what does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness. And then he moves from the horizontal to the vertical axis, from covenant solidarity to the human level, on the human level, to the covenant solidarity with God. What does that look like? That covenant solidarity with God looks like this: walk humbly with your God. Walk with God as He has revealed Himself to you. As creator, yes, as redeemer, as father, and as judge. All of these things are God's revelation of Himself to us, recognizing God as God. We need to live under the lordship of God and Jesus Christ, the sovereign, before whom all things, all values, and pride are bankrupt, because God and God alone is to be worshiped, and God alone is to be served. And that God who invites you into a living and loving relationship with Himself is the God who cares for you so deeply that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die in your place for your sins, to bear your penalty, that you might be freed from them. He is the God who declares over and over in His word that He cares for us as His people, and He has entered into a living, loving relationship with us. He is not, as so many people today say, the man upstairs, the big fella, or some other description of God afar off, who seems to be now and then interested in what might be going on down here in this world. But no, He is the God who is present by His sovereign majesty and power, who is ruler over all things that He has made by His sovereign word, and who has invited us in that word and through that word into that relationship with Him, that we might live in humble obedience and walk with our God. Walking with God is living within that sphere that God has called us to live with Him and with others. And we do that in humility, recognizing that the will of God and the way of God are the best for us. Have you ever wondered, what is God's best for me? What is God's best for you? It's what He has revealed in His word, and it's what He is giving you. You don't have to look far to find his best for you. It is what God has declared in his word and what God will give you as you walk with him in that freedom that he has given us to do so, in that relationship of love that has bound us to himself for all eternity. And that true freedom requires sacrifice, not the sacrifice of a sacrifice like in the Old Testament, an animal, or even sacrifices now in the time in which we live. After that sacrificial system has stopped, we seem to think that we still have things that we give God. We give him our time. That's a sacrifice that we make. We give him a little bit of our checkbook. That's a sacrifice that we make. Or we give him, you fill in the blank, as though giving God something is what God wants. No, God says he does not want sacrifice. He wants covenanted love. He wants a living sacrifice. Not something that has the life taken out of it, but the living sacrifice who stands before him in covenanted love in that relationship with God through Jesus Christ that says, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. There's freedom, true freedom. There I find the freedom and the ability to live with every ounce of my being, because that's what you have created. Like you've given the water for the fish to swim in, you've given me this relationship of covenanted love in which I can live before you. So help me to find how you want me to apply that in every aspect of life. And he'll teach you that through his word. As you apply that word to your life, you'll find the true freedom that comes from being bound together in that covenant with God for all eternity. Amen.